Chapter 7. Towers of Brass.
How do we breach the tower?
Asked Theodorus, the retributor's eagerness for battle obvious. What are your orders, my lord? Ionis Scriptborn had mustered his army in a massive gorge, veined with thin streams of lava. The darkness of the night, alloyed to the sulphurous smoke rising from the basin of the flume, was enough to conceal their ranks, but not caustic enough to trouble a stormcast. The reflected glow of the lava gave their armour a lambent shine, though not bright enough to give away their position.
Patience, paladin, Ionis uttered. I learned long ago it pays to be wary when attacking your enemy's stronghold, and we are not so unscathed as to throw our caution aside.
A dread aura bled off the brass tower. Its armaments were clad in metal and shimmered with heat. Skulls had been hammered into the sides and piled up at the base like macabre footings. Foul, demonic gargoyles leered down from the battlements. Spikes, thick chains of iron, and a heavy, barbed portcullis kept aggressors at bay, though who would challenge the might of the Gore-tide in these lands was beyond the relictor. No archers or war engines defended it, but the walls were thick and its vantage high. Evidence of a forest surrounded the tower, but its trunks had been cut down. The stumps remained, oozing red sap that looked uncomfortably like blood. The gruesome sight of it put Ionis in mind of severed necks rather than trees, as if an army had been sunk deep into the earth surrounding the tower and decapitated one by one as they struggled helplessly. Perhaps they had been, but he had no desire to find out. Either way, the garrison would see them coming and send out an army before Sigmar's Chosen could even reach the outer border. If they were trammelled, it would give the warriors inside time to organize a defense or summon further reinforcements. The attack had to be swift and decisive. It was bad enough he had parted ways with Vandus and left the Lord Celestant unsupported. He could not fail in this also.
If we could move unseen,
Ionis murmured, and eyed the tumultuous sky and burgeoning clouds overhead. Behind the grim facade of his skull mask, Ionis smiled.
I know what must be done.
Roth slumped against the battlements, gorged on flesh and drunk on the ale his kind fermented in vats of black iron. A heady brew, it brought blinding anger to the fore at first, before surging through the body like a fever and leaving behind a burning need for more.
Empty,
he slurred to Ganon, another of the Blood Reaver garrison. Roth reached for his axe, grabbing the haft on his third attempt.
Hey! Swear I'm speaking to you!
But Ganon wasn't listening, nor were the other warriors standing watch on the parapet. Instead, they were looking and pointing. Heaving up his body to peer through the brass spikes that crowned the edge of the tower, Roth saw what had caught the attention of his fellow tribesmen.
What is that?
He asked, briefly wondering if his hallucinations from imbibing the dark ale had yet to abate. A storm rolled towards them, a massive belt of cloud. Howling gales raced along with it, and thunder boiled around it as lightning flashes lit up the dark hollows within.
Like nothing I have ever seen,
uttered Ganon, as the half-chewed femur dropped from his meaty grasp. The storm was not of sky, but surged across the ground like a carpet of fog. Roth shook his head to try and shake off his torpor.
How is that possible?
Inside the storm, all was calm, as the storm casts doggedly advanced. Even the lofty prosecutors were concealed by the rolling thunderhead their Lord Relictor had summoned. The slow beats of their wings crackled in time with the dolorous footfalls of the heavily armoured paladins. Ionis led them, his icon held before him like a guiding beacon.
Make ready,
he told his warriors, scarcely needing to raise his voice, such was his mastery of the storm.
When we reach the threshold, they will be undone.
I will strike for the tower's summit,
said Sturmanon, flying by the Lord Relictor's side.
Be careful. We know not what horrors it might yet possess.
Again, Ionis's mind went back to the Blood Priest, the one he knew lurked somewhere within the tower. Once more, he thought of Vandas fighting alone, against Kul and against prophecy. There was no time left for regret. The gatehouse now loomed before them. An iron portcullis barred the way, threaded with skulls and studded with spikes. But as the storm veil parted and revealed the warriors within, no foes came out to meet them. The gate remained shut. Instead, the Blood Reavers on the parapet hurled insult and obscenity, believing themselves safe behind their walls of brass. A few threw axes between jeers or tossed rocks, remaining steady. None of the stormcasts fell, their armor fending off the desultory efforts of the garrison. Theodorus mustered the retributors, preparing to rip the tower down a piece at a time if necessary. "We can batter those gates into submission," he told his Lord Relictor belligerently. "And then the curs within."
"Hold," Ionis ordered,
though he knew the retributors were eager to be unleashed. Sturmanon's prosecutors were the same, held aloft on their wings of light, beyond the reach of a hurled axe. Insults bit deeper and spurred the herald to want to act. "I can sweep them off that parapet, Lord Relictor."
"No, wait."
Something felt wrong, but Ionis had yet to identify his worry. The cut-down trees, a buried army with heads cut from the bodies of its soldiers, the deep red soil and the apparent reluctance of the garrison.
"When have you known a servant of Khorne to ever refuse a fight?" he asked.
"Lord Relictor, we cannot delay," Theodorus replied, and signalled the attack. Ionis let it happen, having no good reason to stop it. But when the retributors had passed into the decapitated grove, and the gargoyles crouched atop the tower began to speak, he realized his concerns had been justified. By then, it was already too late. In the dark keep of the brass tower, a hulking figure regarded the army outside the gates through a murder slit in the wall. He smiled as the stormcasts came closer, urged by the murderous desire the tower evoked in all warriors.
"You have come for blood,"
Threx Skullbrand whispered to the darkness.
"And you shall have it."
Their voices were iron, the grinding of metal against metal. Far from being grotesque statues, the gargoyles had another purpose than mere macabre decoration. Ionis saw the danger, but his warning cry was stolen by the deep chanting of the statues. "Stand fast," he cried, "and defend yourselves!" The cut-down trees. They were a trap. Not necks or trunks, but vents. The ground underfoot began to tremble before a fount of scalding blood burst from the red soil and took a piece of the vanguard with it. Retributors flailed, catapulted skyward. Armor was scorched, flesh burned, and warriors came down to earth thunderously. Lightning flashes lit up the night as Sigmar reclaimed his own and the strength of Ionis's chamber was eroded. He heard shouting, confusion, and fought to restore order. A second eruption of blood followed swiftly, and the air was filled with the death cries of Azir's paladins. Some tried to brace against the blood plumes, but were torn off their feet anyway. No Sigmarite plate nor lightning hammer would avail them. Two further eruptions burst forth, spattering Cryptborn's armor with hissing gobbets as he took what shelter he could. He grimaced as the blood crept inside the aegis of his plate and scalded the flesh beneath.
"Enough,"
he snarled, watching Sturmanon's prosecutors whirling and diving to try to avoid the horrific blood rain. Muttering words of power, Ionis called upon the Lord of Storms and unleashed lightning from the heavens. A cerulean bolt arced from the clouds, as straight and pure as a spear. It struck the summit of the tower, lighting up the darkness. It utterly destroyed one of the gargoyles and silenced the rest. The blood rain ebbed, and no more lightning flashes split the night. Ionis heard the jeering of the Blood Reavers anew, and turned his grim visage upon them.
"So, the blood-bound a craven,"
he bellowed like a clarion horn.
"I thought as much. Those who skulk are unworthy to hold a blade."
The howls of laughter coming from the parapet turned to shouts of belligerence. A moment later, the portcullis began to rise.
"Dolts and simpletons," Ionis muttered, "easily goaded."
He nodded to Theodorus to lead the attack.
"Vanquish them. Leave none alive."
Baying and snarling, a horde screamed out from the mouth of the tower. Bearded warriors, clad in blood-red plate and hefting thick blades, crashed into a wall of charging retributors. The gilded paladins bore the brunt of the blood warriors' fury and blunted it against their iron-hard resolve and formidable armor. The garrison of the Brass Tower had never fought such a foe as these, led by a warrior for whom death was preferred to failure. Anger drove Theodorus. Anger and guilt. Memories of his former existence, before his reforging, were vague and fleeting. For some, it was this way, while others remembered more. No one knew why or needed to ask, but in the surge of battle, when his blood was up and righteous words upon his lips, Theodorus remembered. He remembered the temple on the hill. He remembered the old man and the day he staggered into his village speaking of horrors. Raiders had come to the temple, intent on defiling it. All knew the dangers beyond the walls of the village, how remote the temple was. But Theodorus could not let this sacrilege stand. He had been Thade back then, though the name meant little now. Thade had taken most of the village warriors and ridden hard for the temple. But when he arrived, he saw it was empty. There were no raiders in sight. What he did see was a great flame light the sky, glowing ominously from the direction of the village. The old man had lied to them, for he was not old, and not even a man, not really. Without warriors to protect it, the village burned along with all in it, including Thade's own kin. He merely existed for a time afterwards, wandering the wilds until the raiders returned. But they were not just raiders anymore. They were conquerors now, their ranks swollen with monsters. Thade stood no chance as their onslaught swept the land, but he stood anyway and begged for death with a blade in his hand. The light came swiftly after that, and the memory of his pain faded until the day he raised a weapon in anger again. As he fought, Theodorus spoke the names of his kith and kin, every man, woman, and child amongst them. He let it steal him, his desire to avenge them keener than any sword, harder than any hammer. Lightning struck, evil men fell dead, and Theodorus led the line.
"Avenge them!"
he cried, tears of grief and hate filling his eyes, unseen behind his impassive mask.
"Avenge them!"
No amount of retribution would ever be enough, but on he slew.